Hi, it's Friday night, and I sound terrible, and I am sorry for that. But you know what? Like everybody else out there, I feel like I might be the last. I tested positive for COVID today. So I'm going to muddle through this. I've cleared the studio all by myself in this room. I do have a dog, so if you hear him bark, that's that. But it's a nice reminder, isn't it? It's still out there, folks, and a lot of people are getting sick. So you got to be careful when you're out there. I thought I was as careful as I could be, and here we are. I sound a little like Brenda Vaccaro, which is a good thing. All right, let's just muddle through it all together tonight, and let's start with this story that came across my radar, and I got kind of mad. I think you will too. When you hear the word self-defense, what do you think of? Do you think of somebody defending their home against an intruder? Think of a pedestrian fighting off a mugger? Maybe a store owner protecting his business from a robber? Everybody has their own idea of how much force you can use to protect yourself. But here is the tricky part. Your own definition of self-defense doesn't always match up with the state law, especially the state that you live in. And when that happens, people who appear to be innocent get tossed into jail. And then an outraged public demands answers and justice from prosecutors. And I have the perfect example for you tonight. It's happening right now in New York City. Here is the headline of the New York Post. A convenience store worker is facing second-degree murder because he stabbed a man who came behind the counter and attacked him during a dispute. Here's what happened. 61-year-old Jose Alba, there he is. He was working at the Blue Moon convenience store in Manhattan. It was a week ago tonight. Woman comes in to buy her daughter a bag of chips, but her food stamps card was declined, so Alba allegedly takes the chips back. Not satisfied with that, the woman then leaves and returns with her big boyfriend, 35-year-old Austin Simon. There is security footage of the rest of the run-in, and I'm going to give you the full-on warning before we play it. It is very graphic. It involves a stabbing. But here we go. You can see Austin Simon enter the store, walk behind the counter, and then shove Jose Alba to the ground. And then, according to the footage, as the much larger Simon tries to pull the elder Alba out from behind the counter, Alba picks up a kitchen knife, and then he stabs Simon at least 5 times in the neck and in the chest. According to the police report, while all of this is going on, Simon's girlfriend is off camera and she's pulling a knife out of her bag. And then she stabs that elderly clerk in the hand and in the shoulder. Her boyfriend, this guy in the white shirt, Austin Simon, dies a short time later at the hospital. And the elderly Mr. Alba there being roughed up, he spends 6 days behind bars at Rikers Island, the famous Rikers Island. His bail was originally set at $250,000. They actually wanted $500,000, but the judge said that was too much. Ultimately, it got lowered to $50,000. Mr. Alba got out. But even the mayor of New York City, Eric Adams, came out strongly against the prosecutor who decided to charge Jose Alba. And here is some of what Mayor Adams said.
So the DA has his job. I have my job as the mayor of the city of New York. And as the mayor of the city of New York, I support hardworking, innocent people that are doing their job. And I saw him as a hardworking, innocent New Yorker that a person went behind the counter and attacked him.
He's not wrong. Alba is home tonight. But here's the rub. That elderly citizen is facing 25 years in prison if he's convicted of the second-degree murder charge they laid on him. I want to bring in Joe Marino. He's a reporter for the New York Post who's been covering this story extensively. I think I have the same question, Joe, that everybody has. What am I missing?
Well, you know, a lot of the facts that you just gave were not available to us when Mr. Alba was arrested. He was arrested for a murder that was a stabbing. And it wasn't until a New York Post photographer actually was able to secure the video and we were able to start digging and get some visibility into Mr. Alba's situation and this confrontation. And I could tell you right now, there was a lot more than what was in the original fact pattern presented at the time of Mr. Alba's arrest. So,
okay, so Joe, is it possible then what I'm looking at here is a rush to judgment on the part of Alvin Bragg, the DA in the case, who decided that, you know, this elderly store clerk worker should be charged with second degree murder? Is it a case of we need to get the facts settled out and have the investigators look at the video and then they'll think, oh dear, did we ever make a mistake?
Well, I don't know what the thinking was on behalf of the district attorney's office. I can tell you right now, from the preliminary investigation, from what we have visibility into, they were presented with a tremendous amount of carefully curated information. They knew the role that Mr. Austin Simon's girlfriend played. They knew that he wasn't part of the original dispute and then he came later. Now, why they chose not to charge Mr. Austin's girlfriend is somewhat of a mystery, considering the fact that she acknowledges she had the knife. She denied initially using the knife, but obviously she's seen on video using the knife. And how they came to this charging decision, really, I can't speculate, but it doesn't really make a lot of sense, at least according to New Yorkers and the mayor, who are pretty squarely behind Mr. Alba.
I mean, why the girlfriend isn't charged is such a mystery to me. I get the in defense of others and the self-defense arguments. I get it. I've covered this for years. But in defense of others doesn't count when the others you're trying to defend are the aggressors in the first place. And you can't say that, you know, this Austin Simon is defending himself because he's the aggressor here. So quick question here. As I understand it, Austin Simon has a long rap sheet. In this video, he's actually on parole for assaulting a police officer. How nice. What are New Yorkers saying about this? Because they're pretty tough. And I know that Bragg has a soft on crime reputation. This sounds like a really, really stupidly hard on crime. So what are New Yorkers saying?
Well, New Yorkers are behind Mr. Alba, as is the mayor. The public sentiment has been really unanimously in his favor. And I think that, you know, the video and the combination of the reporting that's come out to sort of give context to that video has really sort of bolstered that report. It wasn't an argument over potato chips at all. And, you know, Mr. Simon went into that store seemingly looking for a confrontation. And I think that, you know, a lot has changed since the day that Mr. Alba was arrested. And as far as the DA's position, their position today is that this is simply an investigation and it's ongoing and they're getting more evidence. But, you know, it's really hard to see where that goes from here, given everything that's come out.
Listen, I'd be okay with that if this were day two or day three. But we're a week into this, and all of us in TV land have the video. We can see with our eyes, plain as day, what happened. So for the DA not to be moving a little quicker on this seems a little, you know, disconcerting, to say the very least. P.S., this man has a $50,000 bail hanging over his head. He's probably spending a lot of money on lawyers already to try to make sure he doesn't spend decades in prison for this. He has no criminal history either. This is another thing I don't understand. Joe, Mr. Alba, from what I understand, has a clean record. He's not a flight risk. He's not a threat to the community, as the normal standards would dictate in a court of law. Why the attempt at a $500,000 bail from the outset?
Well, the bail statutes, which a lot of people in New York talk about, a lot of people talk about bail reform and the bail statute. And the one thing you hear in court over and over again is the least restrictive means to ensure the defendant's return. And it's odd because he's lived in the community for decades and he has family here, he has a job. Again, I don't want to speculate as to thinking the assistant district attorney who handled the case, but it does seem high given the fact that, you know, he's not a flight risk. He has roots here. And I know they mentioned the pre-planned trip that he was going to take to the DR, but it certainly seems like they could have arrived at the conclusion they eventually arrived at, which was electronic monitoring and a surrender of his passport to begin with. And I don't know why it really took all of this to come to that conclusion, where that might have been the least restrictive means.
Joe, I was just watching Dan Abrams' show before you came on and this show began. And there was a guest talking about how angry he is that before they could even sign the affidavits for the arrest warrants, some of the perps are back out on the street on bail. And then you have a story like this. I mean, it is maddening, to say the least. Joe Marino, thank you so much for being on tonight. I really appreciate it. I apologize for the way I sound, COVID positive. But again, I'm by
myself.
No
worries. I don't do these. I've never
and
done
you and I are miles apart. Thank you. Joe Marino from the New York Post joining us live. Now, if you're still confused that this isn't a textbook case of self-defense, then it is time to bring in two very astute legal minds. Michael DeSciaro is a former prosecutor and a criminal defense attorney who defended the store workers' actions in this New York Post op-ed from this week. And Mark O'Mara is a civil and criminal defense attorney who knows a thing or two about stand your ground. His was the case of, Trayvon Martin, and he successfully defended in that case. Okay, so let me put this to you, Michael, because you wrote the piece in the New York Post. You were defending Mr. Alba in this case. I'm going to put the same question to you that I did to Joe from the New York Post right before you. What am I missing? Because I'm always open for the stuff that the press doesn't have, the stuff that would make the, you know, Alvin Bragg decision to actually charge this as a second-degree murder legit. But what am I missing?
Thank you for having me on. I don't know. I don't know what the DA was thinking. Here's the question that I have that can't be answered. Line assistants are the ones that they're called line assistants. They prosecute, they process cases through the system. And then there are supervisors that make the decision as to what bail is going to be set, especially in a murder case. I want to know what point the DA's office became aware of the video. Because if anybody sees this video, and I'm so happy you have another attorney on here, there is no way that this video says anything other than self-defense. There is no one more peaceful than Jose Alba sitting at his job. So the DA's office either ignored the video, hoping nobody would see it, or they just didn't have it when they made this decision. And look, DA's offices are busy places. This isn't the only murder that they're handling, unfortunately. So that would be the question I want to answer.
I will say this is the only murder that has every headline and the entire front cover of the New York Post, plus it's on the national news. Hello, we're talking about it. So Bragg is under the gun right now and in the spotlight. Mark O'Mara, this is a perfect case for you because when you defended George Zimmerman, not a lot of people knew anything at the very beginning of that case. And it really flip-flopped once all the evidence came out and people started to realize in the Trayvon Martin case, holy dinah, George Zimmerman was getting his head bashed in and Trayvon Martin was on top of him. And then they started to understand how Stand Your Ground works if they bothered to actually watch the trial. In this case, I'm just going to ask you to give me your cursory view on the video alone, because we're watching what we're watching, knowing that we maybe don't have all the facts. But what can you tell me from what you see?
So the cursory view is I agree with what was just said. The prosecutors better not have had this video available to them when they made the decision. Because even though we can argue that self-defense is sort of an affirmative defense, it is something that you have to say out loud, right? I did it on purpose. And the reason why I did it on purpose was because I acted in self-defense. So even trying to put that burden on Mr. Alba, nonetheless, when you see that video, prosecutors look at that and they have to presume a couple of things. One, Alba, non-aggressive. Two, the other guy was aggressive, Simon. Three, he was committing either a robbery or an attempted robbery without question because presumably he was trying to take something. Even if it was the bag of chips that he was trying to take by force, that's still a robbery. So with all of that, I think what's happening is the prosecutors made a rush decision, maybe based upon some inaccurate information or certainly incomplete information because of what the cops may have said. And they charged him. And now I think they're trying to justify their own mistake. And let's face it.
Boy, that's terrible.
Alba's probably going to get a check from NYPD for a bad arrest.
Well, that was another question that I had. Is this going to cost them and dearly, not only the face-saving problem, but the lawsuit they may face? I know it's hard to sue the government unless there's malice, that's behind this. But Quick question for you, Michael, about the knife. A lot of people have said, well, wow, there's a kitchen knife behind the counter. Is there anything to that? I mean, if you're a convenience store worker in New York City, I would think you should have a gun behind the counter. But is there anything to the fact that he had the kitchen knife there behind the counter for probably for self-defense?
It's a deli and it's a store. I'm sure he uses the knife to cut packages and things. It's not like a bazooka. It's not a Rambo knife. It appears to be a small knife that's behind the counter of every deli that I've worked in, or bodega. I don't see the knife. The question is, did he have the right to do what he did under these circumstances? And will a jury find it reasonable? And everybody from my cab driver to my 80-year-old aunts, Jesse and Lynn, are shocked at this case. They're shocked at the video. My buddy offered to pay the guy's bail. He doesn't even live in the state. That's how clear-cut
we're hearing a lot
this
of that.
Video appears to be.
Yeah, there are people really angry. So listen, Mark, what Michael just said is important. I think one of the pieces I saw suggested there's going to be a grand jury this Saturday, which would be tomorrow. I don't know if that's going to happen tomorrow or not. But A, grand juries, that's never, you know, a good arbiter of whether something's going to get moved forward or not. But juries, juries are a different animal. And there's a thing called jury nullification, where even if the prosecutors prove everything that they have to prove, a jury can get back in that room and say, hell no, I'm not going to convict this guy of second degree murder. Do you even see it getting to a jury room and a jury nullification?
No, the prosecutor needs to get this to a grand jury, let the grand jury fix their mistake by deciding to do what we call a no true bill, case goes away. If this ever got anywhere near a trial jury, it would first have to go through a motion to dismiss grounds with a judge, and a judge would have to look at this case and say there is no chance that a jury can come to a proper legal conclusion of guilt, so I'm not even letting it get there. Mr. Alba better not go to trial, and he shouldn't even have to go anywhere else but to a bank after this is all said and done.
Carrying a wheelbarrow, right? Like with the wheelbarrow that's loaded up and then off to the bank to put it in his account.
Six days in Rikers and having to go through everything that he went through. Sorry, but unfortunately, he should never have been arrested, and the city is going to bear some responsibility for that.
So that's the money that we're talking about, the responsibility of the money. But Michael, what about Alvin Bragg, the DA in this case? He's already been taken on the chin for being soft on crime, but now this is like this whiplash for being like ridiculous on crime. Do you see that he is going to survive this? This is a massive headline.
I don't know, because I was a DA for 6 years. I've been doing this 21 years. And I'll ask Mr. O'Mara the same question. I've never seen a DA miss the ball on a political and legal question. Look, DAs are politicians, and they have to run for election. This was the wrong legal call by Miles, but it was also the wrong political call, if we're getting Machiavellian about it. So either he's not watching the store, or he is not interested, because this case is a failure of every single judgment that a lawyer at a DA makes. The goal is not, as a DA, you don't search for convictions, you search for the truth. And if they had this video, and I wanna go back, I think they had this video in the beginning because the detectives show up on the scene and they canvass. And NYPD detectives are really good in finding cameras. They actually play a game of it. They go around, they look up stairwells. So I believe he had this video before, and I believe this may have been a very bad political calculation.
I don't know any investigator who goes to a bodega and doesn't think that there's a security cam. There's a security cam in every single bodega. Last question, real quick, Mark, and it's an important one. The girlfriend, she's got a knife in her purse. She pulls it out and she stabs that older man, that convenience store worker, and she's not been charged. What do you make of that, and do you think she will be?
She will be. She needs to be, in my opinion. It's the only way that this prosecutor may save a little bit of face. And don't forget, the prosecutor also messed up, because this rush to judgment and arrest means that the speedy trial clock is ticking on Mr. Alba's case. And that's something you never want to do as a prosecutor until you have your ducks in a row. But she should be prosecuted for aggravated battery, whatever it might be. But when she takes out a weapon and uses it like that, the argument might be she was defending her boyfriend, but you can't really defend a felon in a felonious act. So she should be charged. Right. Let her get a lawyer to try and figure out the defense of others' defense.
Well, and you can't defend someone who's the aggressor. So the defense of others is as long as you're not the aggressor. Guys, thank you. Appreciate it. Hopefully on Monday, I won't sound like this and we'll have a much better story to tell about Mr. Alba. Have a good weekend, both of you. Be safe.
Hey, feel better.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Still to come, free money and a lot of it to build the weirdest house on the block. Any takers out there? And how about this? A free milkshake in exchange for a vasectomy. I am not kidding. Offers we can't refuse and stories we can hardly believe when my Friday night panel joins me for the news that you may have missed this week. It's right after the break. Welcome back, everybody, to this COVID Friday night. I sound awful because I tested positive for COVID, but I am all by myself and very lonely in this studio, and we are doing this show very safely. I just sound really funky. So here we go. The Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe versus Wade has the country certainly very divided. People are reacting in all different kinds of ways, but perhaps none like a Nashville restaurant owner named Sean Dr. Big Daddy Porter. Take a look.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Big Daddy. The world's a pretty crazy place right now, but I have a way to make it just a little bit better. It's our Snip for Shake deal. We're giving away one free milkshake with proof of vasectomy. Just bring a note from your doctor saying you got the snip, and we'll give you any milkshake you want. Are you nervous about the procedure? Take it from this guy. Mo kids, mo problems. There's nothing like an ice-cold milkshake after a vasectomy.
Joining me now for this and more news that you may have missed is Pete Dominic, the host of the podcast Stand Up with Pete Dominic, Caitlin Becker, senior reporter at dailymail.com, and with home field advantage, Paula Froelich, who is the Banfield senior story editor. All right, Pete Dominic, you're the only dude on camera right now. I'm going to hand this one over to you. You're welcome.
Thank you very much, ladies. This is a story I can mansplain with accuracy and credibility. My question is, is this retroactive? Because I don't know what the statute of limitations is, but I got mine 10 years ago, bravely. So brave I am, and noble. But I love this. I love this idea. I think it's fantastic. I think it's exactly what men need to be doing and talking about. This is a burden for women and not for men. And I'm going to get my shake. And hopefully it's okay that it was like a decade ago.
Oh, it's retroactive. They said that on social.
The doctor.
What's that? They said it. You're totally fine. They said on social media, someone asked if it was retroactive, and they said, absolutely, come get your shake. So you pick your flavor and you go enjoy it. I'll buy you one anyway, Pete. Thanks.
You go, boy. I love the fact that at the end of the video, Big Daddy included a link to a local urology clinic, which makes me think with the viral, you know, spread of this video, they're probably getting a lot of business. Paula, what do you think?
You know, I'm just wondering if he's getting kickbacks. Like, does he get a percentage of every snip? I don't know. I mean, there's got to be more than one clinic in the area, right? Why that one clinic? Maybe it's his favorite.
I just think it's brilliant, brilliant marketing, brilliant marketing. Okay, I want to move on to a basketball story. I don't know a lot about basketball, and it turns out the woman in this next story doesn't either. But do you say Ja Morant, Paula? Is it Ja Morant? Is that his name?
You betcha. That is exactly how you say. Or you can call him Black Jesus.
Okay, this dude, Black Jesus, Ja Morant, he's a star, and this star is on the rise in the NBA. He's one of the game's best players already, and he's just 22 years old. And his star was certainly on the rise at a Miami restaurant after a waitress noticed that he had tipped $500. She was super stoked about that, but also a little confused as well. Watch her reaction. Well, that's just a really That's just a really weird tape. Because trust me, that's not how it went. It was super exciting. There she was. Let me just see if we can recue the tape. Control room, do we have the tape without the freeze and the oh no part? Can we just roll it as it is?
I thought that was me.
Well, Pete, you jinxed it. Dang it. You know what? The whole thing was, she's like, she looks at the guy and she says, what school do you go to? And he's trying to explain to her that he's an NBA player. And then she has this reaction and freaks out and she can't say anything more. Instead, she just spins around and runs away. It's super cute. It would be really, really cute if we could see it. But look at her. Look how adorable she is. Just running off. It's really cute.
I love her.
Caitlin. I love her too. Caitlin, a $500 tip is nice. I mean, dang it. That's really nice. I understand this guy's getting, he just had a 5-year contract between 193 and 231 million a year.
Yeah, so he definitely has the money to spare, which is really nice. But what I love about this story in particular is that, and you kind of said it in the beginning, he's just in his early 20s. He's on the rise here. If this is how he's acting now, you know, before he's really lived through that massive contract and all that massive fame, I think he's going to be a bit of a role model to look up to. I love this. It gives me chills. It gives me happy chills.
I'm with you, Caitlin.
I misspoke. I said a 5-year contract that will pay him between 193 and 231 million, not per year. I think that's for the 5 years. Pete, that's Pete Dominic money.
Oh yeah, and because I make that, you know, something close to that, obviously, I want to say that everybody, like anybody, can tip big at least every once in a while. And I'll just be honest, like I every year, maybe a couple times a year, I give a ridiculous tip to somebody. And I don't do it most of the time, but it feels really good. Like part of why you do good things for other people is because it makes you feel good. I mean, you shouldn't go on TV and talk about them because that's not the definition of altruism, but I'm not a good person, so.
Paul is a big tipper. I know Paul is a big tipper.
You're darn right I am. I waited tables all through college and in my 20s. And let me tell you what, that guy is my hero. I love you, Black Jesus. Thank you.
I agree. I was a waitress too. So when I see that, same. That's a big deal. You know, we get paid nothing when we're waiting tables. I did it for 6 years and you get paid nothing. So you really rely
on
the tips.
And it wasn't like they were at a fancy place either, where it's
they took way more than that bill,
you know.
It was like a diner. Okay, let's talk about even bigger money people, because this is a story about a billionaire who's got so much money, he might not even notice a missing billion or two. It's Elon Musk. A guy who may have just blocked himself from Twitter, or more accurately, might be backing out of his $44 billion deal to buy that media giant. Musk says that Twitter has too many spam accounts, and he's frustrated with the Twitter bosses who are investigating that issue. So the big question here is that Twitter's threatening to take this guy to court. Everybody's all a Twitter about this story. But Pete, sometimes I just think the average guy out there is like, Elon who and why do I care?
I don't know. I think most, especially you said guys, I think there's a lot of people who really like this guy, admire him, worship him. Anytime I criticize him on Twitter, I'm always astonished by the backlash because I don't understand how you could have any shred of respect. This man is a horrible person, according to tons of people who know him and work for him. And he's also, people give him so much credit for being so smart, but he didn't come up with the technology. He invested in the technology. He's a smart investor. How do you lose over $1 billion buying a free platform? Like, he's a huge loser in this. He looks terrible. And he's going to continue to inject himself immaturely into just about everything because he's so insecure. And I think we should go back to the first story and make sure that he gets snipped so we don't have to deal with any more of his fam.
Boom.
I know, he just had those other surprise twins this week.
I mean, I can't with him. Not to mention, he already knew when he signed that deal with Twitter, they said, hey, do you want to do your due diligence? And he was like, no, I want it. And then he signed this thing that said, if he backs out, he owes them $1 billion. And then he went on, badmouthed them up, down, left, right, and center, their stock is now again in the toilet, and they're like, yeah, you don't get to do that. Mm-mm, no, sir, no, ma'am.
Plus, he's got all those kids. He just keeps having kids all over the place, and he, for some reason, single-handedly wants to repopulate the world.
I love that Twitter's going to force it, though. I love that Twitter's trying to, like, force this deal. When it reminds me of your parents, when you mm-hmm. did something, they said, okay, you can get it, but you have to use it. And then they force you to, because once you get it, you don't want to.
Yep.
He's absolutely right. having that remorse right now.
Totally. And by the way,
thinking about how many billions
gonna do
each
this.
Kid's going to get.
Yeah. They knew he was going to do this from day one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm being told, because I have COVID head, and I am being told we have to go to break, but I do know that there's a great story coming up about Joey Chestnut. Every year, I always wonder if Joey Chestnut's going to win again. And welcome back. What is the 4th of July without Nathan's hot dog eating contest on Coney Island? This year, the competitive eater Joey Chestnut won his 15th mustard belt, but it was not the 63 hot dogs in 10 minutes that made the headlines. It was instead this moment when an animal rights protester decided to get between a man and his food. So basically, Joey Chestnut chokes out the protester in seconds flat and keeps on eating and wins. Caitlin Becker, how many hot dogs do you think he would have actually eaten? Did he not have to deal with the protester and choke him out?
I don't know. He didn't seem like he lost that much time. He was still kind of chewing and swallowing while he had that one arm hooked around him. I think he, you know, broke his own record this time with something like 76. So I don't know, maybe one or two more he would have.
63. 63 in 10 minutes. The whole idea
63.
Makes me kind of.
He's done. He's had better. Maybe he would have been higher if it wasn't for that protester.
Pretty astounding, you got to say. Oh, but apparently he's upset about it, Pete. He feels bad.
Yeah, he said he felt bad for doing this, because he said he realized as soon as he got his arms around him that it was clearly a kid and not, you know, a grown adult coming to interrupt him. So he did say that he felt bad. But
21.
I don't know. He was in the mode.
Listen, this is like the Olympics of eating. And although I don't agree with this sport, it raises so many questions for me. Like, where do you go to the bathroom?
Like
who wants to be married to an Olympic eater? Who wants to?
Okay,
Pete,
I'm going to get you to weigh in on this one because I just get the willies every time I see the video. I don't know if you look up at people who do the window washing on skyscrapers and get like, you know, agita. But I'm going to take you to Toronto right now where this guy, he's a construction worker. He was attaching a load to a crane. Suddenly his hand became entangled in one of the lines and this was the result. Take a look.
Oh my God, oh my God. Hang on.
Hang on, man. Just let your heart out for, bro.
Oh my God, how the f did this happen? Holy f. Is there a swamper there? Like somebody tell him to stop now before he gets crushed by this.
I mean, Pete, part of me is like on the edge of my seat because of that video. And the other part of me is, oh, listen to that Canadian accent. Oh, my God.
I am absolutely astonished by that video. And I think that that's the kind of thing that would never happen in America, of course. I mean, you would never see that kind of an accident with our strong building regulations. No, anytime something like that comes from Canada, I'm like, wow. They're almost like us. But then I realize they're not universal health care and they don't have the death penalty guns and stuff. But
and
yeah.
Then, and then you watch this show and you think, nah, she's nothing like us. Listen to her. She sounds terrible.
This guy's going to have a great story for the rest of his life. This is awesome.
Okay, let's talk American favorite pastime. With a record of 61-23, the New York Yankees are the best team in baseball right now. And apparently their fans are so used to winning that they've now taken to rooting for other things in the stands, like fellow fans and their athletic prowess. Take a look at this. Oh! Okay, Paula, honestly, I've never really understood baseball. I'm a hockey girl, which just doesn't end. But seriously, is this the most boring sport in the world if they have to do this?
Honestly, yes. But also, I mean, come on. How bad is it that they're just so used to winning that they're just kind of bored with the game? And they're like, oh, look at this little girl trying to flip a bottle. Yay, good for you.
I'm going to say that used to drive me crazy when my kids did that. They do it on the kitchen table nonstop. So I don't know why they're so excited about it. Have yourself a kid. You won't want to see that. All right, guys, I'm going to take a quick break. But I don't know if you've seen the latest Airbnbs. But you can, you know, stay in a shoe, and you can stay in a flower pot. There are all these really crazy houses out there, and Airbnb's giving away a bunch of money to inspire people to build these things. We'll show you. Welcome back. Have you ever wanted to live in a treehouse? How about a shoe? Weird, I know, but if you do have an idea for a bizarre or quirky homestead, Airbnb could pay you $100,000 to help you build it. And, of course, post it as an available rental on their site. It is all part of their OMG campaign, adding options to make browsing a lot more exciting. So check out some of these wild homes. A treehouse on a cliff in Kentucky, it's about $853 a night. Then this one kind of looks like a boat in Tennessee. That's $195 a night. Or this one looks like a hobbit lives there. It's in Tennessee. It's $190 a night. Or this super-duper beautiful home, just weirdly beautiful. It's upstate New York, about $465 a night. Pete, what do you think the allure is of, like, going to stay in a shoe and why you'd pay a premium to live in a shoe?
It's a kink. Some people, you know, people are different, and we don't need to judge.
It's not wrong.
I think the kink is, you know, I never grew up. I'm a little boy.
And or he's got a foot fetish. That's what I was thinking. You be the foot.
I want to announce that I am broadcasting right now on your show from the inside. My shed is shaped like a woman's foot.
I'm terrified by that. That tracks.
I love these other ones. Some of them are really expensive, you guys. Like the one that is shaped like a glass cylinder is $7,000 a night. It'll come up in the pictures. The one that's elevated above the water on stilts is $15,000 a night. And then there's a super nice one that looks like kind of a... There, look at that thing. That one on the stilts. That's $15,000 a night, that one. And then this Star Warsy guy, I think it's the Joshua Tree one. That's $12,500 a night, and that cylinder one is $7,000 a night. I mean, they're really nice, but
yeah. But what you get besides just going in and being like, "Hey, I'm taking photos," and that's awesome. I mean,
pictures.
I could stay at the Ritz in Paris or at the Mark in New York for that kind of money, and they would throw in, I don't know, some free shampoo, maybe a massage. Glass of wine.
Okay, I'm going to switch gears, guys. I'm going to get you to, this is normally like a wildlife story, but it's the don't get between a mother and her cub, and yet it's not about wildlife. This one is actually about a New Mexico crime. So I'm going to take you to New Mexico right now. A mom's returning to the car that she just parked. Her 6-year-old daughter and 11-month-old son are inside. A carjacker shoves her aside, steals the car with the kids still in it. Mom doesn't call 911 or scream for help. She jumps on the hood. And she clings to that hood for dear life to protect her kids as the car speeds away. Police would eventually catch up with her and the carjacker. Take a look.
It's going to be a female driver. The mom tried to, she pushed the mom out of the way. Mom jumped on the hood. She drugged the mom. If you could start at 55, mom's got several abrasions.
And I have two babies in there, a six-year-old and an 11-year-old.
Vehicle went westbound on Navajo.
No. Come here. Get in there.
Get in there.
Hey, give us your hand right now.
Caitlin Becker, the person who they caught was Regina Castillo, a woman. Appropriate punishment for her? What do you think?
I mean, I think they should have let the mom have at her, personally. Right? I mean, if you're going to talk about punishment, that mom...
is tough. This is why you don't mess with mamas right here. I mean, did you hear what they said when they got her off the car, that all she had was a couple of abrasions? She rode on a hood of a car because her babies were inside. I think the appropriate punishment would have been hand her over to the mama.
Let the mom have at her. Okay, guys, I got to take a quick break. But when I come back, I always love listening to the announcements at the front of the plane and to see if there's any personality coming out of those flight attendants. And wait until you see the, I don't know, strip. Okay, if you ever watch the pre-board announcements for safety and you get bored, then you need to take this Southwest flight. Watch this guy.
Just wanted the safety information card. Place the vest over your head. Wrap the strap around your waist. Buckle in the front and pull too tight. Once you're outside, pull down on the red tab to the flight path. Finally, light blow into the tube at your shoulder. Your vest has a light that turns on automatically in the water. Please refer to the safety information card for use of a life vest on an infant.
Oh, man.
Did you just see what he did at the end there with the infant? Like, poof. Did you notice?
I love that that guy makes dying in a fiery jet crash in the water look sexy as heck.
He's my favorite.
It's effective. I have never in my life paid a lick of attention to the in-flight safety information, but I learned more watching this video than I have on any flight. Every instruction I want now to be delivered this way. When I go to restaurants, I want the servers to tell me about the specials like this. When I go to the dentist, I want her to tell me to brush and floss like this. And we were talking about how boring baseball is. If the first base coach was giving out instructions like this, I would watch.
And by the way, never give Caitlin a baby.
And also,
she's going to throw it over her shoulder at the end.
Okay, I'm a no help if the plane goes down. No help. I will push old people and babies out of the way to save myself, and I didn't pay attention. But I learned more there.
I just want to note that the producer who worked on this segment actually wrote an intro that said, make sure on this flight you bring a bunch of singles, which I thought was adorable. Guys, I have to wrap it there. Thank you so much for all being here. I hope you have a safe and healthy weekend. Much better one than mine.
You too.
Thank you. Folks, stay tuned. Special reports coming up next with Natasha Zubes.